2 days after her 17th birthday, Laura Welch had a friend in her car, and the world was young in 1963. Whatever problems Laura had were minor ones, and this day was meant for driving, listening to the radio, and chatting with her girlfriend. In the midst of the chatter, Laura made a mistake. She didn't see the stop sign, and the blur of onrushing vehicles ground to a standstill by the terrible crunching of metal. Laura and her friend were shaken up, but able to recognize the car that had been knocked through the intersection. It belonged to 17-year-old Michael Douglas, a popular student in Midland, Texas. Michael was Laura's boyfriend also. He had been thrown from the car, suffering a broken neck, and by the time help arrived, he was dead. And Laura knew it was her fault. Devastating? No words to describe it. Many years later, as an adult and a parent, Laura says she understands now more than ever the painful consequences of that moment. It brought devastation not only to her life, but heartbreak to another family. It was without doubt the worst day of Laura's life. It would be many years before Laura could think of dating seriously again. But romance unexpectedly flourished, and Laura married, raised her children, and took the spiritual reins of her family. After that day in 1963, Laura found the only real strength that would not fail her faith in God. Only her faith saw Laura through that day and the days that followed. Never again did she carry a casual attitude about life or about her trust in God. But Laura's marriage eventually came to a crucial intersection. Her husband started drinking more and more, and in 1986, Laura confronted him. She laid it on the line. He must choose between her and alcohol. Laura's husband made a wise choice. He subdued his thirst and paid more attention to the faith his wife had shown him. He soon found that a deep, abiding faith was worth the effort, worth his investment of time and energy. And today, both Laura and her husband, former President George W. Bush, look back on that entire season of struggle as the turning point for their marriage, their family, and for their political journey. Laura, however, says her life changed years before on an ordinary day in 1963 that became the worst day of her life. How do you handle the worst moments of your life? At the point of tragedy or in the middle of a crisis, you will be driven away from your faith, or you will move to a new level of trust in God, the God who uses every moment for your good. If your faith remains in the wake of your worst day ever, then it is proved that you have a powerful faith. In the early days of the church, many of those who witnessed the murder of Stephen felt it was the worst day of their lives. Stephen was one of the most popular and effective men in the early church. He was godly, filled with grace and love, and he demonstrated the ability to do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. He was one of a kind. And without warning, he was arrested, charged, convicted, and executed. The enemies of the church stoned Stephen, breaking his body and killing him under a pile of rocks. Would you turn in your Bible with me to Acts chapter 8? You know, I've had a few worse days, and I'm guessing that you have as well. Or maybe your worst days are still ahead. But let me tell you, when a worst day comes, you can know this. It is possible to trust God. In fact, trusting God on that day is your only hope. How can you trust God and survive the worst days of your life? First of all, remember who God is. Chapter 8 of The book of Acts, verses 1 and 2, it reads, "Now Saul was consenting to his death," referring to Stephen. "And at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." Most of us can point to a day when everything went wrong. Maybe it was a car accident. Maybe it was a heart attack. Maybe it was the sudden death of a loved one. It might be a financial crisis or a serious medical diagnosis. For the early Christians, Stephen's funeral brought about more funerals. It was open season on Christians from that moment forward. They escaped Jerusalem, but the persecution followed them through Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, into Asia, Egypt, and Rome. And Saul was willing to travel more than 125 miles to arrest Christians way off in Damascus. Imagine the hatred that would make a man travel that far for that purpose. And imagine the fear of those who were being chased and began to go into hiding. Has life declared open season on you? Well, it is a part of life. There is nothing in the Bible that suggests bad things won't happen at times. If you live long enough, some things will seem to nearly crush you. But know this, tough days in your life don't change God or His love for you. A bad day is just that. It's a bad day, even if it lasts for a while. If you remember who God is, you've begun the survival process. You also need to remember what God can do. Verses 3 and 4, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word, producing fruit out of worse days." Seems to be a pattern with God. It isn't the way we naturally think as human beings. When worse days come into our lives, we want to get away from it. We want to get away from everything. We want to go into a cave somewhere. We want to be by ourselves. But God seems to have a pattern of producing fruit right out of worse days. Look at that verse. "Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." That short sentence represented an incredible faithfulness of God's people. They spread the news of Jesus in Joppa. They planted churches in Cyprus. They started a Bible study in Alexandria. They baptized new believers in Ephesus. They wrote letters and ultimately took the message of Jesus to every corner of the known world. Why did such good happen after the worst day in so many lives? People remembered what God could do. That's why. Before Stephen's death shook the church to its very foundation, the church became a comfortable place there in Jerusalem with few problems. There are little things that came up and they dealt with them. When trouble came, miracles also came. Hardship was easily overcome there in Jerusalem. Whatever came, they handled it and they kept on moving. And then suddenly, the honeymoon was over. And the church would never be the same. It must have been a confusing moment for the people in the church. What happened? Why didn't God rescue Stephen? He showed Stephen a glimpse of heaven as he died. Why didn't God simply deal with those rocks-throwing unbelievers? Where was God? How could He have allowed this? How could a good God let this happen to such a godly man? Such a faithful servant. How could any good come from this? From their vantage point, the death of a good man, families running like refugees, this didn't look like a good work of God. at all. But from our vantage point, we see how the entire process was necessary. If Stephen hadn't died, if the church hadn't scattered, Christianity might have stayed in Jerusalem forever. God wanted the message in Asia, so he allowed the persecution. God wanted the message in Africa, so he allowed a terrible thing to happen. God wanted the message in Europe, so he allowed persecutors to follow the refugees as they left the city. God wanted you and me to have eternal life, so he took away the homes of Christians in Jerusalem. God wanted the gospel to spread to every corner of the world, so he used trouble to chase it there. That's the way God works. That's what God can do. Although it may have taken years for some of those Christians to realize it, God was working all the time. You know, we like to quote Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. We like to quote that, but when it begins to happen in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones, other people in our lives, it's tough to take. Some of them never saw how God was at work, but he was. God could be working in a difficult situation in your life right now. Years may pass before you understand the why of a tough time or the reason behind a crisis that's come into your life. In fact, it could be that you will never know the answer and that you have to just continue on trusting God. Faith believes that God is at work during the worst days of your life. Even when you can't see him working, trust him. Remember what he can do. You need to remember also how God works. Look at verses 5 down to verse 8. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Okay, cool. It's believed that this Philip is the same person that's mentioned back in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, one of those seven men that was selected to serve in the early church. And he's listed right after, guess who? Stephen. Right after Stephen. Were they close friends? I'll bet they were. Did Philip hurt to see Stephen murdered? It probably devastated him. It must have broken his heart to see him wrapped up in those grave cloths and to see him laid and to rest in a tomb. It must have grieved him to know that he would never hear his friend's voice again. But Philip did something that we all need to do in order to see good come out of the worst days of our lives. He kept breathing. He kept moving. He kept living. He made plans for the next day. He kept his faith. He didn't turn away from God. He didn't leave the church. He didn't stop trusting Jesus. If you read verse 5 out of context, then you'd have no idea that Philip had just lost his best friend. You'd have no idea that his church had just suffered through a nightmare, the brutal murder of a loved servant leader. And you know that's the point. If you make the choice to keep moving forward, to turn to God alone for your strength, you will discover a wonderful reality, and that is that God can use the worst days of your life to take your faith to new places for your good and for His glory. When you wake up that next day after the worst day of your life, whatever it is that is going on, whatever has happened in your life, when you wake up the next day, read your Bible. When you get over the shock, pray. When you settle down, praise God and thank God and worship God. When you come to Sunday after that event, go to church and be with other Christians. in fellowship. The temptation is to draw away. The temptation is to pull away from that. But don't do that. Philip responded to the worst day of his life with obedience to serve the Lord. In Samaria, the gospel was preached, demons took off running, and miracles happened. And look again at verse 8. It says, and there was great joy in that city. The word that's translated great there is the root of our English expression mega. Kind of like mega-sized soda, mega-sized french fries, mega-sizing something. That city experienced mega-sized joy, an overwhelming joy, all because Philip trusted God in the wake of a tough time in his life. Frank's worst day came suddenly. His wife died without warning. A broken blood vessel taking her life before she could even say goodbye. Frank lost weight. He lost interest in his work. And he lost his laughter. But he never lost his faith in God. He knew that somehow he had to put one foot in front of the other. Slowly, over the course of many months, the laughter reappeared. Slowly, he regained interest in his work and in his hobbies. For a while, he couldn't even sing in church without crying. He just stood there silently. And then one day, he began to sing. One day, he picked up a grandchild and saw the familiar light in her eyes. What Frank couldn't see was what the rest of the community had seen for months. The way his daughter and her family watched him. For 2 years, they all watched this man recover from the worst day of his life. They saw the pages of his Bible become more worn, more tattered, more stained with tears. They saw him pray more fervently. They saw how he encouraged others, how he was ready to help, how he poured himself into service. And they watched as God lifted him up from the worst day of his life and restored him to the joy of his walk. And many people drew strength from his leadership. God takes us forward from the rough times of life and brings out of them the fulfillment of his plans when we remember who he is, remember what he can do, and how he does it. God grows us when we keep trusting him, and he impacts the lives of others for his kingdom and for eternity.